Welcome to the Rehab Your Life podcast. I am your host, Karen Malone, and I am a certified rehabilitation counselor dedicated to helping you rehab your life. Each week, I will be interviewing people to talk about how they have overcome struggles, and I will also share valuable information about a topic that will help you to move forward in your journey. I will also share tools and resources and any nuggets that I have found along the way. I will be challenging you to change your perspective, because when you change your thinking, you can change your life. This episode is brought to you by doTERRA with Carolyn Todd. For those looking for simple ways to eliminate toxins in your home, you can create a fresh, clean environment straight from the plant and free from synthetic fragrances with the doTERRA Aroma Essentials Collection. Here are a few gems you will find in the doTERRA Aroma Essentials Collection: On Guard Protective Blend, Serenity Restful Blend, Breathe Respiratory Support Blend, Springy Citrus Bloom, and the one-of-a-kind ultrasonic Laluz diffuser with up to an 8-hour runtime and 3 ambient light settings. Start your order at bit.ly/aromaessentialscollection. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. I hope you guys have had an opportunity to step away from your office and grab some lunch, or if you brought lunch in, that you're sitting at your desk or in the conference room, enjoying your lunch and checking us out on your social media. So I wanted to start by, of course, saying welcome back to another episode of the Rehab Your Life Lunch and Learn series. Thank you for taking time out during your lunch to visit with us today. And today our topic is medical trauma. Acknowledge what happened. And as usual, I like to start by reintroducing myself. My name is Karen Malone. I am the founder and executive director of Rehab Your Life Incorporated. I have a bachelor's degree in workforce education, training, and development, and a master's degree in rehabilitation counseling. I am a certified rehabilitation counselor as well as a certified community health worker. And my team and I are excited to come online each week to be able to share information with you. So sometimes you'll receive training from me, and sometimes you'll receive training from my community health worker, Haley Morris. And so as we start to kind of dive more into the crux of topics that are really the foundation for Rehab Your Life, I wanted to make sure that I set all of that up correctly. So what I'm going to talk about today comes from one of our online training programs, which we call Rehab Your Life in 90 Days. And so within that 90 days, the goal is that we're going to provide you with a lot of tools and resources and counseling to help you to be able to develop a plan of action that you can put into place within 90 days. So realistically, of course, your whole life is not going to change in the 90-day window, but you are going to be equipped with tools and resources so that you can make that change. And so the first module in this series of the online training, I felt like it really could be useful to share in our Lunch and Learn series. And so module number one is acknowledge what happened. And so this message is definitely on trend, as Oprah and Prince Harry have just released a video series on Apple TV, I believe, called What Happened to You? They are specifically talking about mental health and the trauma that surrounds what, you know, you went through in your childhood. Now, our focus is in reference to medical trauma and your current experience with managing your health, whether that's mental health and or your physical health and overall well-being. And so next week, we're going to go into a lot more detail around medical trauma, but today's training is specific to just step number one, which is to acknowledge what happened. So let me start with the definition of medical trauma. Medical trauma is the trauma that one would experience as a result of medical procedures, illnesses, and hospital stays that actually can have lasting effects. Those who experience medical trauma can develop clinically significant reactions such as PTSD, anxiety, depression, complicated grief, and somatic complaints. In addition to clinical disorders, secondary crises include developmental issues, physical, existential, relational, occupational, spiritual, and of self, which can lead people to seek counseling for ongoing support, growth, and healing. And of course, that is a mouthful. However, you know, the easy answer or the easy definition is that you've been through a lot of things medically and they're still affecting you in some way, form, or fashion, whether you're experiencing some anxiety around continuing to go to the doctor, the poking and prodding that they do, if you have experienced diagnoses where you are now starting to question, you know, life in general and what you may be able to do moving forward. All of those things, when it comes down to it, is medical trauma. And so let me go ahead and give you a little bit of background information on my situation and what I've been through. I am a divorced mother of four. My youngest child is deceased. I lost my home that I had built from the ground up when I was a single parent in the Bank of America fallout. And so since then, I've been diagnosed and treated for cancer twice. I had chemo, radiation, and surgery. And I do have some residual side effects from all of these things. And most recently, I was diagnosed with COVID-19 with some long haul side effects, which caused me to have sepsis and a heart attack. And so these things were things that just happened just a few months ago. And so we know life, you know, can be a ball of wax. It can throw a lot of different curveballs. And so you have to be able to acknowledge the things that you are going through. So the definition of acknowledge is to accept or admit the existence or truth of something. And so, you know, of course, many of you are saying, wow, about what I've been through. And that's true. But what's most important is that I don't look like what I've been through because I was able to appropriately process the things that I've been through. I can use that information to help you to be able to get through what you're going through. And so, again, I'll repeat the definition of acknowledge. It is to accept or admit the existence or truth of something. And the reason that I like to start with a definition of a word is so that we can establish a reference point. So whenever I use the word acknowledge, then you will know that I'm trying to get you to accept or admit the truth of the thing that we are talking about. But no matter what your experience is, you don't want to be stuck in denial. You know, you have to start at the same point that everybody starts at, because, you know, without sitting in it and acknowledging that something has happened to you, you would stay in the state of denial. And remaining in a state of denial for too long can be dangerous and unhealthy. It creates a false sense of, or a false narrative, and it skews your worldview. So you will make decisions based on incorrect or limited information. So do you see how that can be dangerous? It's unhealthy because there may be some important health or life decisions that you just refuse to make due to the lack of acknowledgement of a situation, whether it be a medical decision, a divorce, or the loss of a loved one. And so the healthiest decision that a person can make is to acknowledge what they are going through so that they can process how they feel about it and get the help needed if there is trauma from that experience. And you may think that you are dealing with things just fine. You know, we've all said, oh, I'm okay. But then later it may show up as trauma. You know, the tears out of nowhere, the down feelings that we all experience, but you might be able to connect that back to a situation that you didn't process correctly. And there may be many types of trauma that someone may experience. The most obvious, of course, is physical, but you can also experience mental, social, and emotional trauma. And everyone handles things differently. Some cultures and family environments that people have been raised in cause them to push down those feelings and emotions. They say that it makes you weak, or they say that you have issues, when in fact you have experienced significant trauma, therefore causing you to stay in a state of denial or to please your loved ones to just not bring it up. But what most people don't realize is that everyone has been through something. And only when you expose the trauma does the healing begin. So acknowledging what has happened to you is more about your healing than worrying about what other people might think or say. The release and the freedom that, you know, you get when you no longer have to live with a secret, that is powerful. Your internal dialogue will even change because you don't have to feel some type of way when other people are talking about a topic that may have been sensitive for you. And then, you know, this is what I want for us all to be able to experience: the freedom that comes with being able to be authentically yourself, flaws and all. Because at the end of the day, life is short, and we must set our intention each day to enjoy it to the fullest. So, okay, it happened, whatever your it may be. And I'm not downplaying anything that you or even I have been through, but it could be that this had to happen to get us to this point right here, right now in our lives. So personally, I believe that, you know, the answer would be yes, that this had to happen, because I don't think that my cancer diagnosis caught God by surprise. You know, I believe that everything happens for a reason. And if I'm being truly honest with myself, then I can see that, you know, it wasn't by happenstance that I actually had cancer. I could see the bad habits that I had, the consistent lack of exercise. Plus, I was an emotional eater. So the combination of those two things wasn't going to keep me in perfect health. I can see now, but back then, I was just trying to live my life and just trying to make it day to day. And, you know, when I did celebrate things that I accomplished in my life, I would have like a large ribeye steak, you know, baked potato and salad. Now, this is still my favorite meal, but I still have to do it in moderation. you know, after being diagnosed with rectal cancer, I had to retrain my thinking around food. And we all know that that is extremely difficult to try to flip that switch, that food is fuel for your body. So now I am still a work in progress. So I'm not where I want to be in relation to my weight, but I'm not where I used to be either. I had to acknowledge that I have to make a change for the better, but it didn't come without consequences. You know, I currently live with an ileostomy bag, which has made me to have to be more aware of what I eat and my personal hygiene. So if I'm traveling long distances, I actually have to carry supplies with me. But I guarantee you that it has not stopped me from living my life. I have been on trips to Mexico. I have been out in the water and have not had any problems. And, you know, it's been 6 years since my diagnosis, surgery, chemo, radiation, and I am still thriving. I haven't let my experience with cancer consume me. And you don't want to do that either. There are so many people that I see where they just kind of wear their condition as a badge on their shoulder. And, you know, that's not what God wants for us. We should not look like what we've been through. And as we are giving glory and honor to Him, others are wondering, how can she keep that smile on her face? Well, it's because of God. I saw how God showed up and rescued me. And what I live for now is to share with others that they too were saved for a reason, and that it's your job to figure out why you were saved and to start living your life for that purpose. And that's what I am here for, to be able to help you to be able to do that. You know, let's move forward with gratitude, with passion, and with purpose. The Bible promises us that our latter days will be greater than our former. Don't you want to experience that promise from God? I know I do. So that's all that I have for you today in terms of our training materials. But if you would like to learn more about how you can connect with Rehab Your Life, please reach out to us. Our phone number is 281-849-1307, or you can send us an email at rehabyourlife2@gmail.com, or you can schedule an appointment to come by and speak with us. We are located at 7171 Highway 6 North, Suite 116, by appointment only, of course. And, you know, if you're not ready to start working with us in our counseling program, but you need assistance, why not pick up our flagship Rehab Your Life 90-day planner? I have one right here with me. You are able to purchase the planner at our online store at rehabyourlife.onlineweb.shop. You can also pick up my latest book called Nothing Can Stop the Promises of God, Not Even COVID-19. Told you guys I just had COVID-19 back in December. You can pick up a copy of this anthology where six other authors and myself share our experience with COVID. It's available for $15.99 on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. You know, thank you guys so much for spending a little bit of your lunch hour with me. I'll let you get back to it. So see you next week and have a great rest of your week. Hey guys, I wanted to share just a snippet from my previous book, Lose to Win, A Believer's Journey. This is just a snippet from chapter 3, Ultimate Loss. Quote, I didn't have a choice but to trust him. When you experience the loss of a loved one, oftentimes you can't imagine what your life would be like without them. But when it's your child, it's different. Especially if you hadn't had the opportunity to bond with them for long. It's a harder process because of the what ifs. There will always be a lingering feeling of wanting to know what they would have looked like or how their life would have progressed. To be pregnant at the age of 40 was a challenge. I weighed 235 pounds and my body was failing me. I started to have problems with my pregnancy almost immediately. Especially due to my age, my pregnancy was considered high risk. My OBGYN referred me to a high-risk fetal specialist who scheduled a series of tests to see what was going on. I started to have something called polyhydramnios symptoms, which meant that the amniotic fluid was increasing, and I underwent an amniocentesis on two different occasions to have fluid removed. After multiple ultrasounds and an MRI, their diagnosis was that my child was going to be diagnosed with Down syndrome. But then they changed the diagnosis to achondroplasia, which is dwarfism. They said that she would be a short person because her body measurements were not equal to her fetal age. Hearing this information was disheartening, but I wasn't overly concerned. Based on my experience as a rehabilitation counselor, I believed that I could handle it. But they kept adding additional diagnoses, which was very overwhelming. I was scared for my baby's life. All of my other pregnancies were natural, so there were no problems. When I shared this information with my then estranged husband, he cursed me out and said that the baby couldn't be his because he was over 6 feet tall. He called me a slut and hung up the phone in my face. Due to having a high-risk pregnancy, I was placed on bed rest for 2 months, during which time I was diagnosed with pica, which is a condition where you have extreme cravings for inedible or typically things that are not eaten, like dirt or toilet paper. But I was actually craving salt. I would just drive up to a restaurant and go in and take some of their salt packets. I was also experiencing extreme perineum pain because she was sitting so low in my pelvic area. And my doctor told me the weirdest thing to do. She told me to freeze maxi pads and then apply them to my vagina like a cold compress. Oh my goodness, it actually helped to numb the pelvic area and relieve the pain. This pregnancy was really hard, but the unknown was even more difficult and mentally draining. I prayed to God that she would be okay and that I was up for the challenge to raise her with whatever medical conditions she was going to have. So in preparation for her birth, I met with the palliative care team. They told me that she would be immediately taken to the neonatal intensive unit and intubated due to the fact that her lungs were undersized. The plan that we developed was that once she was delivered, she would be given every possible intervention so that she could live. But if she exhibited failure to thrive, then she would be disconnected from life support and allowed to pass away peacefully. I had to make those decisions without the support of my husband. Every time I tried to talk to him, he would call me out of my name or say something inappropriate that kept my blood pressure too high. I was even prescribed blood pressure medication for a period of time during the pregnancy. After one of the many ultrasound appointments, the doctors at the fetal center admitted me into the hospital for monitoring. They said she was exhibiting symptoms of a condition called mirror syndrome, which means that I would be in danger of my organs becoming damaged like hers, and the only cure is to deliver the baby. As soon as I was placed in the hospital, I called my husband and I let him know that I was at the hospital. He was going to take the Greyhound bus from Texarkana, but would need to be picked up from the bus station. So my sister picked him up from the bus station, even though she didn't want to, but she did it for me. He arrived a few hours after our daughter was born. Our daughter, Kennedy Lauren Zoller, was born August 22nd, 2014, and passed away on August 29th, 2014. That was the hardest decision I ever had to make. It made it even more difficult for me because she just didn't pass as a part of the palliative care plan, I decided to disconnect her from life support. My husband and I prayed to God to continue to let her breathe once she was disconnected from the machines. But we understood that if she did not, that he would be calling her home to heaven, and we were okay with that. And there, so you have it. I hope that you enjoyed this episode of the Rehab Your Life podcast. Be sure to like, comment, and share this episode with your friends. Please subscribe to my podcast so that you can get the latest episodes. Also, check me out on Facebook and Instagram at Rehab Your Life 2. I hope that you have a blessed week. Goodbye for now.